And the guy who dropped him off in the helicopter, they're like, how are they? And he's like, they're hugging them. It's going really well. And the story of her talking about going to these people, she went back and forth to this tribe of cannibals for 5 years before one convert. And got to see a bunch of people saved, the leader saved, and you'll just have to hear her tell it. I couldn't tell some of the stuff these people had done and what they asked God to forgive them for. And every single time she gets done presenting and speaking, she always says, I can't wait till you get to heaven and get to meet some of my friendly cannibals. And can you imagine getting to heaven one day? And there stands somebody who didn't know.
Amen.
And all of a sudden they met you, and all you did was you just told them about Jesus, and now they're in heaven with you forever. I say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mark chapter number 8 tonight. Turn there with me if you would. I told Nathan I've been listening to preaching at missions conferences this week, and I'm ready to sell my whole house and live in a van. By the way, babe, we're selling our house and living in a van. She looks excited. She looks excited. It was actually her idea. She just didn't know it. Mark chapter number 8. Tonight, I simply want to pose a question to you. I want to give you some truths out of the Word of God, some practical application. And then tonight, the desire of my heart, and I believe what God's put on me, is that you would take this question, apply it to your life, and come to a conclusion. See if you're where you should be with it, if you're where you could be with it, if you're where you want to be with it, and you figure out between you and God where you need to be with it. So Mark chapter number 8, verse number 31, right before this, Jesus Christ asked a question. Look at verse 27. He said, Jesus went out, the disciples in the town of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way, he asked his disciples, saying to them, whom do men say that I am? And we know the text where he asked him, whom do you say that I am? And they give the response. People say, good man, prophet, you know, Elias, John the Baptist, different things. And he asked Peter, whom do thou sayest I am? And he said, the Son of the living God. And Peter gets revealed to him just like tonight. If you're saved, you've realized at one point in time that that man Jesus was, oh, he was so much more than a man. He was our Savior. And after that, in verse 31, he begins to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine correcting God's message about God? Took him aside, Lord, message is a little harsh, don't you think? Probably ought not preach that. Did you see the looks on their faces? But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, you're talking about a way to grow a church as a pastor. Call the people Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. I want to read that verse again in its entirety. Look what Jesus Christ says to the man that's correcting his message. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the disciples unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. The next two verses, you've heard it quoted, you've probably heard it preached. Look what the Bible says. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Dear Lord, I pray tonight that you take this message, birth it in our hearts. God, help me tonight to convey what you put in me. And God, I pray tonight, would you help us to follow you and nothing else in this moment. I sure do love you and thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. Tonight, a question simply for you. And we'll look at what God's answer is for himself. But tonight, we have to understand that we want to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Can I get an amen on that? Don't we know that they were first called Christians at Antioch?
little Christ. They saw people and said they resemble Jesus Christ. And we also know that the way that we can win our lost loved ones, the way we can reach this world, is that they see the light of Jesus in us. It's not that we're good. In fact, it's hard sometimes to reach your own family because they truly know who you were. They know who you are. They know what you've done. It's hard to reach those people you used to sin with every single weekend. Can I get an amen on that? And Jesus Christ is laying out the truth of what he believes. And here's the question. How do you value a soul? Now, I know the night that if I ask that question, what's the value on the soul? We're all going to get super spiritual and hit the WWJD button. Oh, there is no value on a soul. They're priceless. But reality, if we were looking at your life and you were looking at my life and you followed me around since Sunday, the last few days, in my life, what would the appearance of souls mean to me? What value would I put on them? Let's look at what Jesus put. Look at verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Why did Jesus Christ come to this earth? To save his people from their sins. He came and he laid down his life. Why did he have to die? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He simply came to this earth and suffered many things. Can you imagine being beaten until you are no longer recognizable? Now, I've heard people say they took the 39 stripes, and that was a Jewish tradition. The Romans, they had no limit. They beat him till one arm got tired, switched to the other, then somebody else tapped in. There was no limit. We don't know how many stripes he took, how many times he was hit over and over and beaten with the reed and the thorns on his head and mocked. And then it said not only would he suffer, but then he was rejected. Nobody in this room likes being rejected. Can you imagine? You'd be like, oh, I don't care. Okay. You go buy tickets to whatever event you want to show up, and they look at you and go, no, you're too ugly, you can't come in. I would immediately laugh and say, you're probably right, but I paid for my ticket. Nah, we don't want you. Do you know the one that they rejected is the one that made them? All things were made by him, and all things were made for him, and those men that were made for him rejected him. He was suffered and was rejected and then killed. He gave his own life. He died. There is nobody in this room who has literally given your entire life for a soul. There's nobody in here, and there's nobody else I personally know that truly has given their life. There are martyrs who have given their life to tell people about Jesus. But our Savior came down and gave his life. Why? To save his people from their sin. The value of a soul was worth so much to him. He was willing to suffer for it. He was willing to be rejected for it. He was willing to die for it. Not only that, then he asked us, look down here at verse number 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? Now, I want you to think about this. Woke everybody up, didn't it? Hey. Dalton wore it one time, ain't worked since. Ain't preaching no more. Okay. Imagine if you rode down the road with me today, and we went down through downtown Asheville. And at that point, I said, I own that building, I own the next building, on the next building. In fact, I own the whole city. Everybody working in it is my employee. Every dollar they're being paid with is mine. And actually, the money I'm paying them, they're giving it right back to me because I got the whole world. We expanded that a little larger, and I said, the whole county. I own the whole thing. Can you imagine owning the entire county?
I can't even fathom that. I can't bring myself to understand driving down the road and owning everything I go to. I know my dad and I have joked about buying them big farms or whatever, and them guys that ride for days and never leave their own property. That's not even a full state. You good, boss? Bless you. He's like, I'm good. That's not even a whole state. And this would be a huge verse. Can you imagine if it said, what shall it profit a man to gain the state of North Carolina? Whole thing. That's a lot of wealth right there. If you owned all the property, all the buildings, all the businesses, all the people, all of it. And God says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose what? One soul. Just yours. One soul. I believe in the mind of our Savior, the heart of our Savior, a soul is worth, one soul is worth more than everything on planet Earth. He said, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's not worth it. In fact, it's not worth everything on earth. It's not worth his own life. It's worth far more. He was willing to give his life and said, the whole world doesn't have anything worth comparison to the value I have on one soul. Now, for us tonight, we would all say that, and I could make it more personal tonight and say, what about your child's soul? Your own child. I can't fathom preaching, seeing thousands of people saved, oh, that'd be great, and my own kids reject the faith. That could happen. There's going to come a day my three children have a decision to make. And it's going to be between them and God. And tonight, if you're in here, mom and dad can't save you. I'm thankful. I know Grace and Brandon. They got in the car tonight, rode here with mom and dad. Mom and dad brought you to church. Mom and dad raised you in a Christian environment. They can't save you. That's between you and the Lord. And you're in a church where you've heard the gospel. You sit in Sunday school. I know Dalton's stupid, but he does teach the gospel. Okay? We put mom in there to try to simmer it down a little bit. She's a wet blanket like me. Somebody say amen. Simmer it down a little bit. But the truth is, you have a responsibility and you have a decision to make. Do I want to get saved or not? Mom and dad can't do that for you. And the same things are for my children and all the kids in this room. But the same thing's true for every soul on planet Earth. However, we all know tonight, I don't have to preach it, that God gave us instructions to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we know that salvation comes by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Every single soul that's ever been saved, it was by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every single soul that ever will be saved is by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So God showed that he was willing to suffer, he was willing to be rejected, he was willing to die, and then used an example to say that our soul, what would it profit us, what would it mean to us to lose one soul for all the earth? And in his answer, nothing. It means nothing. So tonight for you, we see that God values a soul greater than the entire world. God values a soul so much, he's willing to give his entire life. How do you value one? Now, there are three things I believe that we have as human beings and here operating in the world in which we live today that we use to determine value. And I think the most valuable commodity on the planet is time. You can make more money, but you cannot make more time. You can learn a new talent, but you cannot make more time. How many people in here that are a little bit older than me are figuring out that time, it goes pretty fast. And they're not making any more of it, if you know what I'm saying. You've only got so much and you don't know how much you've got. How many of you in here who have adult children sitting there holding your grandbaby right now and you remember vividly when that was your baby? It seemed like just the other day, it was not that long ago, that Miss Colleen and Brother Bill were sitting here looking at little Johnny right here, trying to get him to behave in church, and now you're sitting here with a grandbaby. It happens so fast, and time happens so fast, it goes so quick. It is so valuable time. And if you've not figured out, the Bible is so clear. God tells us to redeeming, he says, redeeming the time. We got to redeem the time. There's time in front of us. Every single person in this room had 24 hours today. What'd you do with it? Now, if we took your time and what you did with your time and how you value your time, have you given any time to try to reach a soul today? Now, I'd say a lot of us inside here gave some time to earn some money. And that's needful. I'm not the guy who preaches against work, and I love what Hank Thompson said. He said, working a job is a necessary evil. We need money to survive. We need to go to work. And I believe that every able-bodied man on the planet should have a job and be working. Amen. That's Bible. And all of us, we probably, a lot of people in here probably went to work. Probably some of the kids in here went to school. Some of you moms wrangled babies all night, all day, all night, all day, all night, all day, all night, all day. It just keeps going, don't it? There's no stop. Some of us get to clock out, then moms don't. We've done all these things today, and that they were important. I'm not belittling what you did today. I'm asking you, by how you chose to spend your time, how much do you value a soul with your time? You say, preacher, today was a hard day. I was very busy. I understand that. I have them days too where it seems like I wake up, look up, and the day's almost over. I understand that. What about yesterday? What about the day before? Doesn't it seem like for some way we continue to come up with excuses day after day after day after day about how busy it is? And before it's over with, we come to a realization or need to. The reality is we don't value souls with our time. And the way we can show that we did, hey, our Savior, he created time and he came down here for 33 and a half years and gave his time just to save people from their sin. And right now, every single person in this building can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Now is the accepted time. How do we use our time? Number two, our talents. God has given us abilities and used them. In Matthew chapter 25 is a great picture where the servants are given, you know, the five talents, the two talents, and the one talent. And the five talents double, the two talents double, the one talent, he doesn't use it. And God takes away from him and gives the one with the 10 talents by the time that they've doubled. And God rebukes him for not using his talents. And oh, there's some people in this room. I can go around and look and say, there's some people in here that have very different talents. If I had a question about what I needed done to my vehicle and something was wrong with it, I ain't going to Nathan. I'm going to Bill. But if I need somebody to put lyrics and help me put some melody to the lyrics I put down for a song, I ain't calling Bill. I'm calling Nathan. There's different talents, different abilities. If I need to build a house, I am not calling Gavin. It ain't happening. You see him with a power tool, it's dangerous. But I might give Dad a call. But if I got computer problems, I ain't calling Dad. He'll break it just by talking to me about it. Isn't it amazing how we could go through the room and each person has a different talent, has a different ability. Some of them are natural, some of them are learned, some of them are trained. And God has given you those talents, and the ones that you weren't quote-unquote natural, he gave you the natural ability to learn them. And aren't you thankful God's done that? Ain't it amazing? Let's just take a pit stop. Ain't it amazing how God can take a group of people and bring them together that really have nothing in common? And we get Jesus in common, and then we just become family. All these people with different talents and different abilities, and by the look of your talent, I'm sure some of you guys today went to work and you had to clock in. And you're being paid by the hour. And somebody has sat down with you and you have come to an agreement on a per hour rate that your hour of work is valued at X dollars. And every hour that you work, they pay you that amount of money, and you are working to earn that with that time. There are some people in this room that are salaried, and yet you're supposed to work 40. Sometimes you end up working 60, 70, 90, whatever it takes, and you're working. And somebody, they're not necessarily paying you per hour. They're paying you for your talent. They're paying you for your ability. And you have come to an agreement that you will value your talent to get paid to live off of by the looks of the way you spent your time and how you're spending your talents. How much do you value a soul? Now, there's some people in here going to say, oh, God can't use my talent. I don't believe that to be true. How many of you think that people who travel the roads telling people about Jesus need help with their car every now and again? Maybe got a problem? How many people do you think that put words on a page and want to bless somebody and reach them for Jesus Christ but don't have the ability to sit down a pen and figure it out? Might need somebody who can sit down a pen and figure that out? How many of you think that there's people right now that need a church building, but nobody knows how to build the building? We know how to reach the people, but we can't build the building. Maybe they need somebody with that talent. And we go through the room, and each person in this room, and I promise you, if God gave it to you, He can use it. And so by just following yourself around, tonight it's just you and God. By the looks of your time, how much do you value a soul? Okay, your talent, the abilities you have. Have you used the abilities you have to reach a soul? And then lastly, and the one that's going to make a bunch of Americans shut me off, your treasures. I heard a preacher say this at Sunday school today. I think it's so funny, Mr. Wilson. I think y'all was in there when I said it. He said that some people in his church, when they get up to heaven, are going to be trying to scrape some of that gold off and put it in their pockets off them streets. We may have some of those as well. Not naming names. Mr. Krabs up in this joint. How have you used your treasures to reach a soul? Have you invested in stocks and bonds and no souls? There's different ways you can invest in souls. If you look at, obviously, missions would be one, and I'll get to that in a few minutes. But what about simply our children? How have we invested our treasures to reach the souls of our children? Now, we want to set them up to buy a car. We want to set them up to go to college. We want to set them up for all these things. What about a Christian education? Wouldn't that be a good investment? The souls of the children in this room, can you put a value on it? Now, obviously, if you ask all the parents in the room and the grandparents and those of us looking around, we're going to go, oh, there is no value on the souls of our little children and our little grandbabies. So how much treasure have you put in for that? Here's something else I would venture to say. Just put in perspective of where we are and what we could do. And what we don't do. I would venture to say that most of the people in this room, not everybody, okay? But get real with yourself. You could give $100 a month for a missionary to go reach souls and it not affect your life one bit. Now, some of us would say that would absolutely just stretch me. Then I'll go a step further and say, there's probably another group of people in here that it would stretch you a little bit, but still wouldn't change much in your life. By the looks of how we spend our treasures, what we choose to do with our treasures, how much do we value a soul? Our God values them so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, can you imagine if I stood up before you today and I said, for the necessity of souls at this church, I'm going to give Will. And here's the real deal about it. I'm going to give him knowing people are going to reject him. That's what God did. And he gave the most precious thing he could. I would venture to say tonight, and you need to come to your own conclusion. You may say, no, preacher. I'm telling you, with my time and my talents and my treasures, I value souls right there with God. And I sure hope some of us could say that. But I'll tell you, if he's worn me out the last couple days, I don't think I can say that. I think the reality is most of us in here are just so busy, we don't have time. Is that not an excuse we use all the time? Oh, I would get my reading in today. We can't even read, much less tell someone about Jesus. Our talents, by the time we get done giving our talents to work our job and then our second job to make a little bit more money, by the time we get done doing that, we're so tired, I can't give no more of my talent for him. Are you kidding me? I'm tired. And all our treasures. It blows my mind. Again, those of you who are a couple generations or a generation older than me, I want you to think at how much less y'all had. I ain't never met someone over 50 who wasn't poor when I was growing up. Everybody got the poor story. You know, I'm not going to say that. That was mean. Everybody's got the poor story. Okay? Today, we've got so much more. Why are we doing so much less? If there's so much more available and we have so much more at our exposure, why are we doing less with more? I'm going to tell you what I believe it is, and I believe based upon the authority of the Word of God, this is true. It is not a lack of time problem. It's the way we value souls problem. It's not the lack of talent. Can you imagine what the Apostle Paul would have done with a car? How many places he reached and he was walking? Can you imagine if I came to you right now and told you the job you work? You got to walk. Zach, you still putting floor in? How much you have to drive? You got to walk now. Floor is not going down like it was before. What about with the internet? Do you know there's people tonight listening to this message right now that ain't even here? Last year, we reached, I think, 48 or 50 states and like 70 countries on sermon audio. Can you imagine what the Apostle Paul would have done with all these talents, all these abilities? He'd have found someone, you can set up a camera, you can shoot it across the globe. Oh, we can he reached all of Asia without it. Why do we have so many more talents and so much more stuff, so many more treasures, so much more wealth, yet we're doing less? I believe we have an epidemic in our pews. And we don't value a soul like we should. I'll just be straight up with you. I believe we have a value problem. But tonight, that's for you to decide. Because as a church, again, like I said about sin the other night, we can make a decision and say, oh, as a church, we're gonna reach all these souls and we're going to do all this. And it sounds great, don't it? Isn't it exciting to get up and talk about how we're going to see people saved, their lives changed, start all these ministries? That's great. But that's never going to happen until it happens one at a time. So tonight, you standing there, and God, if you were standing there before him, you can't lie to him, he knows. How do you value a soul? With your time, your talents, and your treasures. If you assess yourself, how do you value a soul? I can tell you, for me, all I really say is, oh, me. Oh, I'm so guilty of being too busy. Oh, my goodness, all the time, I'm busy, I got this, I got that, all this stuff. Ain't nobody in this room had more minutes today than me. We all had the same. Just how do you use it? How do you value a soul? tonight. I'm the altar call. If you feel the need to come to the altar, you mind the Lord. If you stand to your feet, I'm done preaching. No piano tonight, no need for that. If you feel the need to come to the altar, we'll give it just a few minutes. You mind the Lord.